glad I'm no stranger to old-time religion. Praise God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. These kind of meetings are very, very important. My life was radically changed in a meeting like this 34 years ago this month. Brother Biddle and Brother Arthur Blackburn were preaching together in Tampa, Florida. That night, Brother Blackburn preached on walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And I don't think I had ever heard, maybe I'd heard it, but it never got to my heart. They sang for the invitation that night, "I Surrender All." I don't think I'd ever heard that song. At least I'd never heard it like I heard it that night. And about 2 o'clock in Brother Biddle's motel room, I surrendered all. My life has never been the same since then. Now, there have been plenty of times that I've gone back and crawled off in the corner somewhere and said, "Lord, I just want to reaffirm that. I want to recommit that." These meetings are very, very important. You never know who's sitting in the congregation, the Lord speaking to their heart. Excuse me, I've got a text I need to reply to this. You have to do what you have to do. You know, I'm adjusting my monitors. I have the finest hearing aids that money can buy. I mean, they're extremely expensive and extremely good. The next thing's a cochlear implant. But even as good as they are, sometimes they just go dead. And so if I take on that deer and the headlight looks, it means I'm in a world all by myself. So you just keep saying amen and shake your head when you do, so I'll know that you're saying amen. I'm like the old boy, he got his new hearing aids. He was telling his neighbor about them. He said, "These things are great. They're digital. The quality is just unbelievable. The clarity is beyond description. I mean, they're wonderful." And he just raved on and on. And finally, his neighbor said, "What kind are they?" He said, "4 o'clock. Well, I lost you, Brother Southern, and you did a much better job last year. God bless you. Thank you for everything. I love to come here because you not only feel welcome, you feel wanted. You people know how to make somebody feel wanted. Thank you, young men, that were outside in the rain to help my wife and granddaughter get in without getting wet. What a courtesy that was. Thank you for the wonderful meal. Thank you for all that's gone into providing the service. Every message, appreciate all the preaching today. Looking forward to Brother Terry tonight. We go way back, 1983, 84. I think you were still in high school back then, but way back. Looking forward to hearing Brother Terry. And it's always an honor to be in service with Brother Biddle. God bless you, Brother Biddle. I wouldn't be where I'm at tonight without him. And it's always an honor to be in service to him. Appreciate Brother Dale and his family. What a blessing to see his children grow up, begin to have their own families, and still serving the Lord. Jamie and Jackie and Jessica and Travis serving the Lord. What a testimony, Brother Dale. What a testimony. Well, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Joshua chapter 14, Joshua chapter number 14. I'll be real brief tonight, Lord willing. I just want to say a few things. Somebody said a long sermon won't hurt you. I don't know about that. I've heard some, I thought, if he don't stop, I'm going to die. So I'll be as brief as the Lord will allow me to be. Joshua chapter 14, the sixth book of the Bible, the 14th chapter. An old Puritan writer once said, "The tearing down of the scaffold has ruined the altar." Now, that was his way of saying the ease with which people make a commitment to the Lord has filled our churches with cheap pretenders. This is a day of shallow commitment. People come to church on Sunday morning, make a commitment, and you may or may not see them again. People make a commitment to the Lord so flippantly and so easily. But the verses I want us to look at contain a wonderful biographical sketch of a man who was totally dedicated to the Lord, a man who wholly followed the Lord. This man could echo the words of Paul, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul said, the Lord laid hold of me for a purpose, and I must lay hold of that purpose. Well, this man could say the same thing. There was no half-heartedness in this man. As a matter of fact, his name means all heart. I'm talking about Caleb. This is the day of half-hearted service. People try to put one foot in the world and one foot in the church, but the two don't mix. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. He did not say you should not, but he said you cannot serve two masters. Brother Terry said a moment ago that the world and the church just does not mix. You cannot put the world first in your life and have that upper room experience in your life. So I want to look at this man, Caleb. He had a faith that never wavered, a strength that never weakened, and a blessing that never wasted. Joshua chapter number 14, and let's break in with verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Notice, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Notice again, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kajath Bara, which Bar Arbor was the great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, I'd like you to take the time, if you mark your Bible, and mark the last part of verse 14. The Bible said, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, what does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? What's involved in wholly following the Lord? What are the results of wholly following the Lord? That's really what I want to talk about tonight, the results of the blessing. I want you to see three things that resulted from his life of full surrender, total dedication, however you prefer to phrase it. Or you could say the blessings of wholly following the Lord. Now, first of all, there is the blessing of a spared life, a spared life. I'll tell you, young people tonight, give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ early. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, and that will spare you from a lot of heartaches and troubles in life that the devil will bring to you. Give your life to the Lord. Notice what he said in verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Let me deviate just a moment here and say to you, don't ever give yourself credit for your strength and for your health. Caleb said, the Lord hath kept me alive. Give God the glory. Now, we should eat right. We should exercise and take our vitamins. Those are wonderful things. I was talking to Brother Sutton and Brother Voss before the service tonight. Brother Sutton is 70 years old. Did you know that? Brother Voss is 68 years old. They didn't know I was going to get up here and tell all that personal stuff. But they both had bypass surgery, and they look good and strong and preaching well. Brother Biddle's 86. I think Brother Rains is in his early 90s. And there's no place to quit serving the Lord, regardless of your age. But, you know, you can eat well and take your vitamins and exercise and die healthy. And so be sure and give God the credit. Amen. One bump of the head, your brain could quit working. One twist of the neck and your whole body could quit working. So always remember that the Lord is the one that gives health and keeps us alive. Now he said, the Lord hath kept me alive. Really was kept alive in a threefold sense. One, he was spared from the death of discouragement. Discouragement will kill you spiritually. Look again, if you will, please, at verse 7 and 8. Notice, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Notice this now, verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord. Now, they discouraged the hearts of the people, but Caleb just wholly followed the Lord. Doesn't matter what my brother does. Doesn't matter if none go with me. Still, I will follow, Caleb said. He's talking about an event that took place 45 years ago when Moses sent the 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan, not to see whether they should go in or not, but get a battle plan, a battle strategy, if you please. And they saw the giants. They saw the grapes of the land of Canaan. Now, two of those men were Joshua and Caleb. All 12 men saw the same thing. All 12 men experienced the same experience on the west banks of Jordan. But the majority measured the giants against themselves, and Joshua and Caleb measured the giants against God. The majority trembled, but Joshua and Caleb, they triumphed. Now, the majority had great giants and a little God, but Joshua and Caleb had a great God and little giants. And if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes off of God and get our eyes on some giants that are in the land tonight. And if we're not careful, we can get very, very discouraged. There are many things to discourage you in the land tonight. If you want to be discouraged, talk to me after service, and I can tell you a lot of things to be discouraged about. But let me just remind you, beloved, that our hope tonight, and get a hold of this, our hope is not in who sleeps at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Our hope is who reigns on the throne of heaven. There is a God in heaven who is still on the throne, and he's bigger than the giants of this land. Now listen to me. When you determine to wholly follow the Lord, it's not long until the cold water of discouragement will be thrown in your face. And it's not very far from discouragement to defeat. You can get there without taking a single step. And when you do, it'll bring death to your spiritual life. Neither the armies of Pharaoh, nor the absence of Moses, nor the weakness of Aaron, nor the giants of Canaan could discourage Caleb from following the Lord. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, not only was he spared from the death of discouragement, but he was spared from the death of disbelief. Disbelief will discourage you and kill you spiritually. Now, five times, look at this, five times in these nine verses, Caleb refers to God speaking. There's been a lot said today about believing the word of God, listening to the Bible, listening to the preaching as God speaks. Verse 6, the thing that the Lord said. Verse 10, twice, as he said, since the Lord spake this word. In verse 12, the Lord spake in that day. I should be able to drive them out as the Lord said. One writer described Caleb as brave among cowards, assured among skeptics. In the book of Hebrews, the writer said in chapter 3 and verse 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? And to whom swear he that they, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So they could not enter in because of unbelief. Somebody said, I don't believe that Canaan stuff. Well, you'll never enter in. Canaan is for believers. If there's one thing more than anything that's keeping the blessings of God off of the church tonight, it's unbelief. Unbelief. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I used to wonder about that, diligently seek him. What's that mean? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You set your heart to seek the Lord, you're going to have to do it diligently. You go to the prayer closet. If I forget something I need to do, all I have to do is go to prayer, and the devil remind me of what I need to be doing. But I've learned to take a pencil and a piece of paper. If I had already forgotten it, it could wait just a little longer while I talk to the Lord. But the devil will do everything possible to keep you from seeking the Lord. You'll have to do it diligently, diligently. Too many of God's children are living in the wilderness of doubt when they could be living in the Canaan of victory of their life. Not only was he spared from the death of discouragement and the death of disbelief, but notice he was spared from the death of death. Now he says in verse 10, "Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Moses died, Aaron died, Miriam died. Every adult above 20 years old except Joshua and Caleb had died in the wilderness. But old Caleb's still going strong. The Lord hath kept him alive. Now there's a principle of death in the New Testament, and it's the death that can come to a Christian. It's the death of spiritual barrenness in our life. If you live after the flesh, beloved, you shall die. The wages of sin is death. There is a sin unto death. There are many believers that are just as dead to the service of the Lord as Ananias and his wife who lied to the Holy Ghost and God killed them right there in the worship service. I remember a few years ago when I was preaching through the Acts of the Apostles and I dealt with Acts chapter 5, one of my members came up to me after the service and said, "Well, Brother Jim, it's a good thing God's not killing people in church for lying tonight. We wouldn't have anybody left, would we?" I thought about that for a moment. I said, "But you know he is, my friend. He's still killing people for lying in church. Oh, they may come in and look alive, and they may go through the motions, but they're just as dead to the things of the Spirit of God as if they were out in the cemetery pushing up daisies. They go through the most, they may sing in the choir, they may teach a Sunday school class, they may even preach a sermon. But I want to tell you, without the Spirit of God, they're just as dead. And there are some that go because it's the right thing to do. They go because family goes. They sit through the service. They see everything that moves except the Spirit of God. They are dead to the service of God." The blessing of a spared life. The blessing of a spared life. I want that kind of life, don't you? You can have it if you wholly follow the Lord. There's the second blessing. It's the blessing of a strong life. Look at verse 11. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was from the day that Moses sent me." Think about that. He's 85 years old, and he said, "I'm as strong today as I was when I was 40. I'm 63. I'm as strong as I was when I was 62. Take that for what it's worth. I can't say I'm as strong as I was when I was 40, but at 85, and notice what he's strong for. "As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war." Hey, this is a battlefield, brethren. This is not a playground. There's a spiritual battle going on. You need the strength of the Lord. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My sufficiency is not of myself, but my sufficiency is of God. And God will give you the strength to overcome the enemy." Just think about this. Notice this, if you will. "A faith that never wavered enabled him to lay hold of a strength that never weakened." And I believe God is looking for some men and women, for some young adults, for some teenagers that will be strong in character. This is a day of weak character. But God wants some people to be strong in character, strong in purity. You want to know the secret of a strong life? Look at Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord. Over in chapter 15 and verse 14, we're told that Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak. As a matter of fact, if you'll study the book of Joshua and Judges, Caleb is the only one who succeeded in expelling the enemy. He's the only one that did that. The man who wholly followed the Lord was wholly victorious in his life. And just as he had physical giants to contend with, you and I have spiritual giants that we must battle. Let me just briefly suggest, now there could be several more, but let me just suggest three sons of Anak spiritually that we have to deal with. One is the giant of worldly perversions. This is a perverted age in which we're living in. I don't want to be shaded. I don't believe in shaded preaching. I certainly don't believe in vulgar preaching. I detest vulgar preaching. There's no place in the pulpit for vulgarity. I'm getting off course. Let me get back in my text here. Here a while back I said that we need to rate the sermons. You go to a camp meeting, you need a marquee outside. This sermon is X-rated or R-rated. I'm not taking my wife and my granddaughter and my daughter in to hear some preacher get in the pulpit and use dirty language. When I got saved, the Lord took away foul language. And I just don't believe in X-rated. Well, how did I get into all of that? Anyway, I was going to say this is a perverted age. I was in the Army in 1966 and 67, and I never heard what I'm fixing to tell you. You may have seen it. Newsweek magazine, April of the 11th, this month. The problem in the military is male rape. Last year, 50,000 veterans screened positive for military sexual assault. That's in the Army of the United States of America. How much longer can our nation go at this rate? I never heard of that when I was in the Army. I never seen anybody that I thought was strange while I was in the Army. But now the problem in the military is male rape. I was born 1947, turned 13 the summer of 1960. Our country went into what they called the sexual revolution in the 60s. Thank God I got saved in the spring of 1961. But what has it turned? What has it brought us? I'm telling you, it's brought us sexually transmitted diseases, broken homes, rampant sodomy. This is a perverted age, and the giant of worldly perversions are creeping into our homes. And they're getting into a lot of Christian homes. They get in through the television. They get in. You know, a lot of Christians pay for cable that have channels on it that the worldly perversion giants get right in the home on. They get in through the videos that we watch, people watch. Would you be ashamed tonight? Would you be ashamed tonight? Well, I see a screen that says, sir, we would see Jesus. That's commendable. Would you be ashamed tonight if every video that you've watched the last 30 days was flashed on this screen? Would you be ashamed of what you've rented, the giant of worldly perversions creeping into our home? And the tragedies of the internet are at epidemic proportions tonight. The internet's a wonderful tool. It's a marvelous tool. I haven't found any subject that I can't Google and find some information about. It is a marvelous, marvelous tool at our disposal tonight. But you better control it. You better be sure your children are monitored. The giant of worldly perversions get in. Do you know victory over this giant? Caleb wholly followed the Lord. There's the giant of worldly pleasure. Our society's gone pleasure mad. Do you know pleasure operates at the principle of the diminishing return? I mean by that, it takes more and more and satisfies less and less. If you try to find your satisfaction in worldly pleasure, you'll never be satisfied. I mean, what satisfies tonight won't satisfy tomorrow night. It has to be a little more and a little more and a little more, just like drugs and all sins that way. Have you noticed when these amusement parks put up a new roller coaster? For instance, when Six Flags announces they've got a new roller coaster, it doesn't say the roller coaster this year will be shorter and it won't go as high and it won't be as exciting. No, no, no. It's higher, faster, longer. That's the way pleasure is. It takes more and more and more, but it satisfies less and less. But at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know victory over this giant? Caleb wholly followed the Lord. There's another one. Let me suggest it. The giant of worldly prominence. A lot of people could serve the Lord and enjoy serving the Lord if they didn't care what people thought about them. Oh, listen, as parents and grandparents, we need to be more concerned that our children and grandchildren are pure than popular. And the peer pressure doesn't stop when you get out of school, young person. Every phase of life has its own particular kind of peer pressure. But learn early. Follow the Lord. Get His smile of approval on your life and leave all the critics to the world. The blessing of a spared life, the blessing of a strong life. And then last of all, very quickly, the blessing of the satisfied life. Look again at verse 14. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The blessing of wholly following the Lord. Verse 13 says, Joshua blessed him. Now, let me suggest three ingredients here that make up a satisfied life. Satisfaction of spiritual prosperity. If you're looking for satisfaction, material prosperity, again, you'll never be satisfied. No more than pleasure can satisfy the material things of this world. And you never have enough. You just never have enough. You always want a little more. But the Bible says in Psalm 1 and verse 1, blessed. Ah, there's the key I'm looking for. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's a misfit in this society. He's a misfit in most religious circles. I mean, he doesn't know who's playing in the Super Bowl. He is so odd. He doesn't have a favorite team. He's not a fan. He doesn't wear colored belt buckles and colored ball caps and colored T-shirts. He can go to church and he's just so out of place because he doesn't know. Listen, I got off a plane in Bangkok, Thailand. I got off a plane in Bangkok, Thailand, and the missionary that picked me up at the airport, the first thing he said, oh, Brother Roland, you're from Tennessee. I bet you're a Vols fan, aren't you? Well, I didn't want to sound like a Pharisee. I didn't say, no, bless the Lord, I'm not a Vols fan. I said, not really. I'm not into sports. Tell me about yourself. And I thought, well, we'll get onto the mission field here and find out what. He said, oh, I said, man, I'm a Tennessee fan all the way. The man that delights himself in the law of the Lord is a real misfit in this day. He doesn't know who's playing in the Southeastern Conference. He doesn't know who won the Heisman Trophy. He is odd. I'm telling you, he is so odd. But ask him what he read in his devotions, and now he can tell you that. Ask him about that upper room experience, and he can share with you what the Lord whispered in his ear. He doesn't know the statistics, but he sure knows the Word of God. His delight, that's where he gets his joy. He drops his bucket in the well of the Word of God every day of his life. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Oh, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God said to Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 8, but the book of the law of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth. Talk about it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Keep it in your mind, that thou mayest observe to do all that is commanded therein, that thou may find that thy way may be, then will thou be prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And young person, the only place you'll find the word success in the Bible is Joshua 1:8. And anything in your life that's not based upon and guided by the authority of the Word of God, it cannot and will not be successful. There's the satisfaction of spiritual possessions. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb. He had an inheritance in Canaan to leave his daughter in Judges 1. Now, she had a funny name. I don't know why he named his daughter that. But anyway, he left her a marvelous inheritance in the land of Canaan. I may not have much to leave my daughter and my granddaughter, but if I can leave them an inheritance in the land of Canaan, I can put my head on my dying pillow and I can go to heaven with satisfaction in my heart that I have left them a spiritual inheritance in the land of Canaan. Have you possessed your possessions? There's the satisfaction of spiritual peace. Look at verse 15, the last part, please. And the land had rest from war. You show me the individual who is enjoying the experience of spiritual victory, and I can show you a person who can walk across the stage of life with an unshakable peace. An unshakable peace. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ is God and he died for me, there is no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. Look at it, please, in verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Caleb said something like this. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground.